sign your name, and they tell you the room you are staying in. Now, because we have now grown, people come with children. Did you come with your wife? Yes, okay. They give you you and your wife and your child one whole room. Nobody, that is just yours. They don't care whether you paid 1,000 as one country, because it's free, as contribution, or you paid 200,000. Nobody checks. You're just one of the people that showed up. Are you getting my point? Now, I told that story to let you understand the principle of he that giveth. I have to look and say, brethren, you will tax yourself. You should. Amen? Those are basic things, but that's not the depth of Christianity. The depth of Christianity is that if we're all in the same church, those guys who earn half a million, the pastor says that, hey, next week we will need 2.5 million. They should call themselves. They should stop bothering those of us that just give regular 200 naira at offering. Once we give that 200 naira, it's okay. I pray you understand. That's how they should think. I'm not saying those giving the 200 naira should think like that. They should think like that. That me and this guy had the same degree. We have the same mindset. We have everything. But God gave me him half a million. He gave him 20,000. Why? It is wrong. Oh God, I pray you understand my point. It is wrong to start buying expensive cars first. Start building big houses. Are you getting my point? If you're a Christian, it's your type that pays for TV airtime. You should stop. You know, people like me complain, but those who come on TV and that complain, we shouldn't come every time begging. But there are two sides to it I see all the time. There is a side in which, yes, pastors shouldn't come begging. But there's a side in which we shouldn't even give him the opportunity to beg. Let him never beg out of lack. Let him beg out of stupidity alone. So at least we are covered. Today I was praying, I was alone. Some things came to my mind. I won't give you details, all right? But I prayed a prayer for my alumni fellowship. I said, God, the day must come that we have to send emails around. That, brethren, please, if you have not yet paid a pledge by now, we are sorry it is too late. That it's too late because you will give us too much headache trying to manage the money. So please withhold your pledge until next financial year. Because we said we needed 10 million. Currently, we have 25. So please, if by now you didn't send in your money, we thank God for you, but please, you will have to wait and send it early next year. We have told the bank to stop collecting. I'm giving an example. But I prayed that prayer today. I did. If you know the way I prayed the prayer, I can't give details. I said the problem must start with one person. One person will first take, if you say our budget for the year is 10 million, one person will just pay that 10 million. Bam! The other person will hear that, that guy go pay 10 million. Okay, they come. You go add his own joy. Another thing, say, oh boy, I have matched that offering. Provoke one another unto love and to good works. Are you getting what I'm saying? By the time they reach 25, executive will say, guys, wait, the bank said that our total credit balance now is 25 million naira. It's okay, because we send emails around. So send emails around. Say, brethren, please, it's enough. All right, we're not a financial company. We're a fellowship. So right now, please discontinue sending of pledges, all right, and redeeming them. Please, let's just leave this till next year. If you wanted to do, it is received in the name of Jesus, but next year, you bring it. That is what God wants. All this preaching every time of, in the depths of your poverty, you can give yourself into abundance. It's a gospel of poverty. It's still a gospel. I didn't say it's a lie. Did I say it's a lie? It is what? A gospel of poverty. No, really, actually, as a matter of fact, that's what God really wants. Yes, you'll be tested by giving out of, all right, poverty. But where God is really taking you to, you will eat bread without scarceness. You know what that means? That means you can give abundantly without even knowing you give anything. I've heard people quote this all the time that David, when he gave, he said, I will not give God something that didn't cost me something. That's a misreading of that scripture. What David just said is, I don't want to give God a free offering. It didn't mean that it was paining him. He says that if you are giving and it's not paying you, you have not yet given God some that. No. What David meant, all right? If you go and check, when David gave for the temple, what he used for that offering was pittance compared to what he gave for the temple. So he didn't pinch him. He gave out of abundance. Are you getting my point? He was just saying, this is a correct interpretation. He was saying that the man said, okay, take the offering free. He said, no, I don't want a free offering. What he was saying is like, maybe you are in church, you want to give 5,000 as an offering. So being a respected person, somebody beside him, I said, please, give me my bag. I want 5,000 naira there. Are you getting my point? And I said, what's it for? He said, offering, sir. I said, no, sir, don't worry. And the person takes his hand in the pocket and gives you the offering. Don't you have much more than 5,000? And I said, no, it's an offering. Oh, boy, it has to come from my pocket. That's what David was saying. That no, it happens. I mean, you're a senior person. People around you want to do you favors. I mean, they are glad to help you. You follow what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But then when it comes to offerings, I say, okay, what do you need the money? I say, I want to give an offering. I say, okay, sir, no problem. I have it here. I have $5,000. So you look at him and say, no, it's an offering. It has to come from my pocket. That's what David said. He wasn't saying that, it must remove my liver. Like some we try to say. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. When you're talking about people being tested with abundance, being found doing what they are supposed to be doing, the world makes you think that you have much because you're blessed. Are you getting my point? You're more blessed than the other person. Therefore, you should chop life more than the other person. No, really. You are being tested. Let me say it to you one more time. You're also being what? Being tested. You're not being tested with, little. You are being tested with much. And God will come one day. You can work in an oil company and be an employee all your life. Do you get my point? Yes, just be an employee. You think you are prosperous, but God was testing you, checking whether he would dash you the oil company so that you now become your own. You will now be giving out the jobs. But you can be enjoying life because currently oil pays a lot of money. And you just stay there. And there's something that we'll get into. When there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. Vision comes from obeying the word of God, not from trying to have vision. Vision comes, all right, from being a persistent obeyer. I hope that English is okay. Of the word of God. That's where it comes from. It's not just go and lie down. Listen, the Bible makes it clear. There are those who dream and then come out. No, he said there are those who are pregnant, all right? They think they are pregnant, they gave birth to wind. And the Bible said there are those who fall asleep and they dream, thinking they are eating. When they wake up, they find it was a dream. So the fact that you lay down at home and were conceiving and say, hallelujah, listen to me, it does not mean to come to pass. It is when you obey the word of God consistently that the Spirit of God breathes. Oh God, listen to this. The Spirit of God breathes into you. You know what he said in that Proverbs? Quickly, open back there. Sorry, Ecclesiastes, not Proverbs. Chapter 3. Verse 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. Verse 15 says, that which is has been already, and that which will be has already been. For God seeks what has passed by. Let me put my own words to make it clear. For God seeks to accomplish in the physical realm that which already spiritually he has accomplished. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you go and read them, I think Revelation chapter 19. No, not 19, please. Revelation chapter 4, yes. Verse 1. Don't bother opening to it. I just want to explain something with it. John said that the angel called him and said, come, let me show you. He took him somewhere and said, let me show you the things that are going to happen after. I don't know what I heard I said. That is, John, come and see them happening. Then later on, you go down to the earth and see them happen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let me explain. Famine came into Egypt. Not because Pharaoh dreamt of famine. Abundance came into Egypt. Not because Pharaoh dreamt of abundance. But Pharaoh dreamt of abundance because God had appointed abundance to come into Egypt. Are you getting my point? The one that's first is God's appointment before the dream. So if you dream and have visions, imagine vain things that God did not say has already happened. It will never come to pass. That's why companies fail. Have you ever heard of Iridium? Iridium was a company started by Motorola. They covered the earth with about 30 satellites. So that from anywhere on the surface of the globe, you can make a phone call to anywhere. They worked on iridium for like, I think, 7 to 10 years. I'm not sure the exact number of years. You know why iridium company went bankrupt? You know why? Operating by satellite. Each call was about $2 a minute. You can remember, you want to make a call in Nigeria today, 300 naira a minute. Now, I'm bringing up something here. They dreamt of the idea. Motorola executive cooked the idea up. We are going to cover the earth with communication satellites. People pick up phones from anywhere and they can call anywhere. Except that by the time they were ready, all right, GSM was out. Are you getting my point? By the time they were ready, GSM was out. CDMA technology was out. They were being rolled out everywhere. And nobody saw the point in carrying the heavy iridium handset and paying about $2 a minute for a call when you could buy a small, much smaller GSM handset and pay less than a quarter of a dollar for a minute. What am I saying? They gave birth, they incubated and gave birth to wind. Iridium cost them billions of dollars. Went, boom, it was picked up for pittance. I remember they were writing about that the satellites are going to fall out of the sky if nobody buys the company. It's not just about dreaming. What God did not give them as a dream was that GSM will have come out and made the idea of deploying about 30 satellites to circulate the globe and give people phone calls nonsense. What they didn't realize was that fiber optics was going to take over everything. And right now, across all the seas, fiber optic cables here and there, running in every direction, making calls very cheap. That's why you can call America for 15 naira a minute. Just by the way, most of the companies who built the first fiber optics also went bankrupt. Because they invested heavily. By the time everybody finished investing, there was a glut. Companies went down. People were picked. Listen, in life, if now money they find, don't worry, just obey God. God will let people build. Then they will just collapse, bam, and they'll fall into your hand. I'm telling you, that's what he does. These people are not allowed to struggle. They are not allowed to struggle. They are allowed to obey. Walk in righteousness. Each time he gives them a duty, they occupy. They occupy. I said, my friends are building houses. I've warned you. Once you start telling what your friends are doing, just know that Satan has incorporated himself into somebody's flesh. Maybe your friend, your father, don't worry. He's beginning to talk to you. All those digressions away from the duty you have for today. They sit you down and explain how your friends are making money and that you'll be human. You're not this smart. I've always known, when in secondary school, you've always been like this. They want to line you up, you get my point, pursuing other people's assignments. Not knowing that each person has a job to do for the day. And listen, a day is going to come. That's called the day of the Lord. That's called the day of the visitation of God. That's God's appointed time for you. And you will be judged. That is where he will place you, is determined by how much you are accurately conformed with what I was explaining earlier as the perfect will of God. Not somebody's testimony. As I was saying that the other time. There are a lot of testimonies people give. They are testimonies of shortness of glory. I'm telling you. I've seen people testify of things that I know is going to kill them. Praise God, I used to have only one suit. Since I joined this man and abandoned what God said I should be doing, now I have 25 suits. They won't put it like that. I'm the one adding the last line to it. I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. When God came, Peter left the boat and came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He forgot to tell you that was God's call for Peter. And the own boat is God's call for you. I don't know whether you hear what I'm saying. So after that, hallelujah, Peter was never a small man again. And you know, well, I've told you, when greed is defining the kind of gospel you hear, look, you're only deceived if you want to be deceived. I'm telling you, I know what I'm saying. You are only deceived if your heart is a heart hungry for deception. You tell a young man, you say, what are the keys of prosperity? You say, follow the word of God, obey him, don't be covetous. In his time, he will bless you. The guy go look at what's the address, what's the time of his time? He said, what do you mean? He said, what time is it going to be his time? Is it next year? Or is it 6 months? Or is it 25 years? Tell me now. He said, I don't know. Abraham waited for 25 years. Hallelujah. The man, 25 years, me. And as that one comes out, another person will be alive. Hallelujah. I have two special keys that the Lord delivered to only me on Mount Zion. Last time I went to Jerusalem, and he said, every one of my children that will believe this, they are going to prosper before the end of the year. He said, good. Good. It's before the end of the year. That's what, you know, that's what that guy is hearing. All the other things. It's not whether God is the end, before the end of the year. So when the man said, what you do right now, you will walk on your head around the building. You will see young men with their hair, their legs in the air, their heads down, going around. When you ask them, are you so foolish? What is opening him to deception is that he wants it now. When he that believes does not make haste, but he wants it now. Only deceived if you want to be deceived. So you must pray and say, God, give me a heart that, look, the Lord is good. Let me sit on my mercy. The Lord is good. What's the point I make it? So that's what happens. They start giving people, look, so when God now finally comes, they have given them agendas different from the one God committed into their hands. So you know what happens? Look, God will always come at his appointed time. Whether you're at home or not, he will come. Whether you are ready or not, he will come. Are you getting my point? He will come. Then he will judge you on how well you have kept yourself occupied with those two things I talked about. The building of Christ's character. You know, I was talking with your boss yesterday. I saw him with a book, Business by the Book. So we came to vote, so he sat down. So I came with Alan Greenspan's book. So he said, you came with Alan Greenspan. I said, I was looking for someone that won't need concentration. I knew I'll be distracted. He now said, I came with this book. He said, once in a while, I pick this book and I read it. He said, because if you're not careful, you start working for money. You think you're working for God. Now, this is a very rich man I'm talking about. Are you getting my point? Doing business in hundreds and hundreds of millions of naira. So if you are not careful, you start working for money. You think you are working for God. What was he saying? As long as I have this book, he tells me, the book, Business by the Book, means that business by the word of God. That's what the book is talking about, by Larry Bucket. All right? He said, this book keeps me in check so that I'll know when I have started doing business, but not by God's word. Do you get what I'm saying? That I will know when I've started doing business, but not by the word of God. So I told him, sir, a lot of people are waiting for Motorola to make chips, Mark of the Beast. Anyway, they took the Mark of the Beast long ago by how they are doing business. What am I trying to say? If the pleasure of God is not primary in your heart, you will be deceived. Yes. If you are not engineering your life just so that you can please God, you will be deceived. Let me say one more time. If your primary goal in life is, God, let me walk in a manner pleasing to you, you are open to deception. Yes. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I'm saying many things. Let me, as I just look at my time. My time is really coming to an end. So let me hurry up. So what is the point I was making? Let me get back to where I went into the side trips. I was saying everybody's been tested. Everybody. Don't look at that young other fellow that he's lucky. And this other one is unlucky. No. Both of them are in difficult tests. Because what a young man is at the age of 25 is nothing. It's nothing. The Lord hasn't come yet. I hope you know that when Samuel came to Saul, and says, Saul, you will be king in Israel, the Lord had not come. It sounds funny. I will prove it to you. There was a day he told him, I will come. As part of that thing, he said, I will come and offer the sacrifice. And what happened? Saul did not wait, like Samuel said. And what did Samuel say? This day, God would have established your throne. So the fact that the man has entered into abundance cash, it doesn't mean the Lord has come. It means he has entered into another realm of test. If Saul had known that I'm not yet made, I'm still being tested, whether I can stay on this throne, he would have been more careful. Many people think that they are made. That is, where are they now? I'm made. They don't know that there's being put on the throne, then there's the establishment of that throne. And on that day, they gave him an assignment. He bungled it again. And so, someone explained to him again, you see the problem. Now you have made this so clear that there's no hope. God has gone to find another king. The point I make that the day they appointed Saul, the Lord never ready. He was still being tested. So you made 100 million last year. Doesn't mean anything. How did you handle it? It's still part of your test. To decide whether you will leave the realm of making 100 million and start blessing people with 100 million. It's so vital we put that thing in mind. I'm just trying to say something here. That I think, just thinking about it, that's what my whole thought in all this series has been. God's day will come. Amen? Amen? How it will meet you is what we are discussing. Those who are rushing towards that day, it meets them badly. That's what I'm saying. Because the assignment for the period of waiting for the day, they are wrongly doing it. You get my point. Let me just remind us of something I said last time, very important. The lamb, we read from Zechariah chapter 4, remember that? Your light must keep burning, like we just read. It must keep burning. But it's not because you are shouting, my light must burn, my light must burn. No. It's simply because you are being fed with the oil from the sons of oil, the anointed ones. Let me not preach that message again. Don't forget the charge I gave. I thought about it again today. I was telling my wife. I located 3 main people I want to be listening to this season. They are my anointed ones. The sons of oil. And God says, if you pay attention to them every time, he said in that Ezra chapter 6 we read, that the elders of Israel succeeded in building because of the prophesying of Haggai and that of Zechariah. And I said, in my own understanding, they represented the two olive trees that were beside the lampstand, from where oil was being poured into the lampstand. Are you getting my point? So, if you want your oil to keep burning, my brethren, it's just the same simple job I've been preaching to people for more than 20 years. Literally, yes. This has been the only message I've preached for over 20 years. If you want your light to keep burning, it is not to shout, light burn. It is to keep on drinking the oil from the throne of God, which is the word of God. It's not everybody that can feed you in each season. You go through TV, and there are people who say, oh, we are getting many messages. They have been tremendously blessed. And I say, you are blessing somebody. You bore me. You bore me to sleep. Does it mean he's a bad minister? No. It just means he's not one of my sons of oil. That's just what it means. If he gives out the message for 10 naira, I probably wouldn't buy it. It's not bad, though. If I see somebody else that he's blessing tremendously, I will give that person his 10 naira. Here's 10,000 naira. Buy all the ones that will turn your life around. So you see, it's not everybody that will bless you so well. It's not because they are bad ministers. Nobody is sent to everybody. Are you getting my point? Pastor Bank is not sent to everybody. Are people who can't understand what I'm saying? They can't. Well, why does he talk like that? Can't he be more organized in his thoughts? The guy sounds scattered. Some people are thinking so. And they are not bad people. They are anointed. They are going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed in life. But there's one Pastor Bushki somewhere who's blessing them. His name is Novanki. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah, that's just it. But this one I'm making. When you have located your own sons of oil, please. Your light burns when you give attention to what they are saying. There's a man who have abandoned. Okay, that's another place. Though it's not on tape, it's in books. I've abandoned his message for some time. I picked up a few days ago and I told myself, hi, Banky, how did you do this to yourself? I read one page. You know, lights. And I remembered that many years ago, I was in Bishop Oyedepo's School of Ministry. And he said, ask God for one thing he will do for you. And I wrote it down. I want a double portion of this man's anointing. And yet I've not read this book for weeks and months. So I repented. I brought the book back out. Now, if it's one page, I must read it every morning and every evening. Plus the other three people that I say I'll listen to. It's not that, it's because you see, when the word is coming forth, all right? Like I was saying earlier, it bears vision. Vision is not just, we'll do this. No. It's only what God has accomplished that he's running after to have manifested on the earth. And the only way by which you will catch the vision of that which he has accomplished in the heavens, are you getting my point? Is when you are constantly being fed with the oil. Because he said those two olive branches were the sons of oil who stand before the Lord of the earth. Because you are constantly being fed with the oil from his presence, then the visions of God are dropped into your heart even when you don't realize it. I was telling you about Arjuna to know. He said the good thing about his own success and blessing his life was that he did not know how to plan. You hear what I say? He said, if I knew anything about financial planning, I would never have made it in life. I told you before, when a man is blessed, his handicaps become the way to God's glory. He said, because if I knew about financial planning, all those things I did not make financial sense. But God ensured that not only did he tremendously financially prosper, he changed the order of manufacturing of certain groups of equipment on this earth. And he called him, he was a man who didn't go to much schooling. Didn't do much schooling. After a while, so like what we call secondary school, he got tired and walked away. And his father wanted to return him to school, so he sent him to a place where he told them, drive this boy hard till he almost dies. He didn't know that was the plan, because the father thought he would be tired after 6 months and run back to school. The man didn't grow tired. But he was having ideas of God. He said one day they spent a long time in church doing some mission. By the time he got back home, in his worn-out state, suddenly had that idea. He went into his study and began to draw. That was the next level of machines he began to produce. Are you getting the point I'm making? You, me, as believers, our life not be struggling life. It's listening life. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's attention life. Attention to the proper thing. The thing I want to say today, of course, I'll just make one statement and then I leave here. When you are constantly being fed with that oil from heaven, you are automatically a deliverer for this earth. Yeah. That's what you become. After that vision was given to Zechariah for who? For Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, I told that he said, this is the word of God to Zerubbabel. Everything you see there is the word of God. What he was saying is, Zerubbabel, you will shine, you will produce, you will succeed in life as long as you are being fed with this word. That is, Zerubbabel was a deliverer because he was giving attention. The elders of Israel were blessing the people because they were giving what? Attention. In life, after listen, life is not about having a good job and have plenty of money. It's the number of people who will cry when you die, apart from your mother and your father. Yeah, that's what life is about. It's the number of people who will know that something left them, something departed from them when you leave. That's what life is about. So if you are making money, all you want to do is build a house. More grace to you. It's good. Build. Because somebody has to rent it. Yeah, it's good. You want to drive motor car? One, at least now you have an extra for somebody else to carry. No, so it's good. There's not in this life you cannot do anything but serve the purpose of God. Yes, there's nothing you can do. Whichever way you obey or disobey God, God will find use for you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. But what God is trying to do, all right, is not to accidentally use you. Amen. You know, there are people who use it like that. He was talking about, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, the rod of my wrath. He said, I send him against the nation I'm angry with. He said, but he doesn't do it out of righteousness. Therefore, in the time of judgment, I will punish him. At least he's doing my will by punishing people. But because he's doing it out of wickedness, not obedience to God. But when the king of Israel would have gone to attack Amalek and destroyed Amalek, that would have been obedience to God. So for him, there would have never been any judgment. That's just by the way. All right, to explain that. So it's better to serve God deliberately. Are you getting my point? Yes, serve Him deliberately. What I'm saying is that, listen, true success in life is not in how much, you know, I've been saying that, I'm sure by now you have believed it. I'm only saying it more so that it will be falling from your mouth when you go outside. It's not in how much you have been, you know, physically blessed. It's in how much you have so obeyed God so that other people's lives are being touched by your obedience. He said, you'll be so blessed, you will be a blessing. That's why in life, it's good to have nice jobs, amen? But as you're enjoying your nice job, is your occupation for the season. Do you get my point? Yet the time of God's visitation, you should be a giver of jobs. Are you getting me? Yeah, that's it. That should be your dream. That should be your idea. That should be the things in the back of your heart. Like I say all the time, you're not a project. There's a mission mentality. There's a missionary mentality. There are people who think as if they are mission projects. This life is to bless me. I will marry a man who can take care of me. As a mission project mentality. I'll go to a company that they can take care of me. Mission project mentality. As a man, you're looking for a job, look for where you can bless somebody and you can learn. You know, I've been saying that. Make sure that you're always thinking about where you can learn. You don't want to be a non-entity that people are just saying, okay, have you paid him? You make, in life, okay, anyway, it's a season, but don't stay there. For every 10 naira your boss pays you, he makes 20. 20, what? That's a very kind man if he makes only 20. Every 10 naira he pays you, he makes 100 or 200. For a season, enjoy it. Amen? For a season, do what? Enjoy it. But know that that's not the height. Even if it's 1 million is paying you a month, it's not the full. It's making 10. You ask, you know, if you have a thinking that, you know, Jacob said to Laban, I have to go and provide for my own house. That is, I have to create an inheritance. I shouldn't just work only so that your children can inherit the company. I should build the one that means I can give people jobs. Have that in the back of your mind. What I'm saying so is that one day, the visitation of God will come. It's not going to manifest on you because you labored for it, but because in the season before that time, are you getting me? You did what you were supposed to do. It's the activity that occupies you in that season. Not the results you got, but the activity that occupies you that determines how God will lift you in His appointed time. But don't ever forget it. It is come. You are just preparing and waiting for it. Do you understand what I've said so far?